Welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. Each weekday here on GCN, we strive to expose the destructive and deadly myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, and with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission here is to help you understand what is occurring behind the headlines, all while predicting how these events will shape our world over the next 10 to 20 years. Then during our second hour, we will turn to engage God on His terms by way of His one and only covenant and through His always dependable Torah teaching. With His guidance, you'll be able to replace your religion with reason and engage in a relationship with Him. Today, we're actually going to return to the creation account now that we have invested considerable time trying to understand the first three invitations to meet with Him. Our phone number for those who would like to participate in this discussion, question, criticize, or affirm anything that is said over the next 2 hours is 877-300-7645. Just a moment ago, I read a news story that reads as follows. Israel pressed Hamas on Wednesday to rein in rocket-firing militants in the Gaza Strip after the most serious outbreak of cross-border hostilities since the ceasefire that ended an eight-day war in November. The flare-up was sparked by anger in Gaza over Tuesday's death from cancer of a so-called Palestinian prisoner held by Israel. Included the rocket parade against Israel launched five rockets. Israel did finally strike back. But here we have to wonder. The President of the United States is telling Israel that they must give up the West Bank, that they must surrender this territory, they must remove their settlers, and they must give independent nation status to a mythical people in a mythical land. And they need to do so so that they can have peace, because their protection using fences and using missile deterrence are not sufficient to keep their enemy at bay. Now think this through. Hamas pledged that they would stop shooting rockets into Israel. And Israel said, if you stop shooting rockets into Israel, we will stop counterattacking the launch sites of those rockets. So Hamas said, yep, you have our word. We will stop shooting missiles into Israel. Well, over the last 2 weeks, there have been over 10 rockets fired by Hamas into Israel. Why would anyone in their right mind say, what you need to do is trust the people that have proven they cannot be trusted, the people who are trying to destroy all of your citizens and wipe your country off the map, and you ought to reward them with a state of their own? Where, of course, once they have a state of their own, they'll behave just like they do in Gaza. We have a serious problem. It's kind of funny that this story would come on the eve, too, of the President of the United States with a country that is bankrupt, saying that he's going to spend $100 million of $100 million or $100 billion. I mean, it's a staggering number. I think it's $100 billion on a comprehensive mapping of the human brain. And when asked, how can you afford to do this at a time where the country is so in arrears in terms of being able to pay its bills, he said, we can't afford not to. Well, perhaps in that study they will find that someone in Washington actually has a brain, but maybe the reason for the extreme cost is they're going to have to outsource that part of the project. We've been talking a lot about Cyprus. There's two short stories and a long story that I want to share with you again about Cyprus. And we're going to continue to focus on Cyprus because Cyprus is our future. What we're witnessing in Cyprus is exactly what's going to happen throughout Europe and the United States and perhaps even across the South Pacific. It is the likely scenario, it is a trial balloon, that the international bankers and leading world politicians are foisting on the people on this tiny island to see how much they can get away with. And what they found is with murder. And so we will see exactly the same thing happen within 10 to 15 years, even in the United States and especially throughout Europe. Financial Times. Wealthy depositors in the Bank of Cyprus could face losses of as much as 60%. Now, these are depositors. These aren't shareholders. You know, if you're a shareholder, you either started a business or you've invested in a business or you bought stock in a business. If you're a shareholder and the business that you have invested in goes bankrupt, then all you get is once that company's bills have been paid, you get a percentage of what remains. But these aren't investors. These were depositors. These are people with checking accounts and with savings accounts. And yet, their money, 60% of their money is going to be stolen. Now, mind you, the basis of a bank's ability to loan is based upon the assets that are in that bank. And yet, they're simply going to confiscate them. It is a sad story because of what ultimately happened in all of this, which is that 95% of the bank accounts are going to have nothing taken from them, and 5% are going to have 60% stolen from them. It is very much like the progressive system, and I use that in quotes, that exists for U.S. taxpayers. We've been over these numbers before, but let me put this into context, because this is exactly what's happening in Cyprus. The top 1% of wage earners, 1% pay 40% of the total United States income tax. 1% of the wage earners pay 40%. The top 5% of wage earners pay 60%. The top 10% of wage earners in the United States pay nearly 80% of all federal income tax. The bottom 50% pays less than 1%. The reason they can get by with this, the reason they can steal people's money, is because they placate the majority to rob the minority. And when you do that, the minority has no recourse, and they know it. And so long as the majority don't riot, they can steal other people's money. And that's what they're doing. Now, the problem with that, of course, is you may be part of the 50% say, that's just fine. My accounts, or even in Cyprus, the 95% of the bank accounts that weren't touched. And rather than having 6% of your money confiscated so that 10% of the money of larger depositors would be confiscated, not 60% of it, the 95% of the people say, that's fine. It didn't affect me. Go ahead and take their money. But what you do is you take the money of checking accounts for businesses. You take the money of people who are buying things and spending money and investing in your country. And at this point, no one in their right mind is going to invest in Cyprus.
I also heard that the Cyprus president just so happened, him and his family just so happened to get their money out of the banks before this went down.
Yeah, we talked about that a bit yesterday. That the head of the bank managed to have all family investments, not investments, but deposits in the bank, in the scores of millions of dollars, all transferred to British banks in the days before the announcement.
Well, that's convenient, huh?
It's the way that the New World Order is going to work. Those who are the merchants of Babylon, to use the scriptural parlance, are going to rob everyone. And they will rob all the way down to the point of making certain that they give enough indulgences, enough benefits to the slight majority that they won't have a revolution, that they'll still be able to control the people. And so you're going to see very similar kinds of things. Depositors with more than 100,000 in the Bank of Cyprus are set to get shares in the bank in exchange for 37.5% of their uninsured deposits. So they get shares in a bank that is now being managed by and controlled by the very people in the central banks in Europe that are bankrupting the entire continent. They get another 22.5% of their deposits will be put into a special fund, attracting no interest that could be used as needed for further write-offs. It's called a haircut. Imagine, 60% of your savings stolen from you, and it's called a haircut. You know, if you had 60% of your body removed from you, you might think it's a little more significant than clipping your hair. But it was the condition for Cyprus receiving $10 billion in bailout funds from the European Union, the International Monetary Fund, and the Central Bank of Europe. And now they're talking about that first 37.5%. They said, well, maybe we're going to go up to 45% on that, and maybe we'll end up confiscating 75% of all depositors' funds over $100,000. This story gives you a little peek behind the scenes, because what I learned yesterday is that Cyprus, the Cyprus Bank, particularly the Popular Bank in Cyprus, was set up to fail. It failed because of prior actions perpetrated upon it by the International Monetary Fund, the Central European Bank, and the European Union. Now, we're going to go through this story and probably go into the next segment. But what I learned is that it is the very people who demanded the confiscation of the savings and shut the bank down are the very people who caused the bank to fail. Now, here's the story. Reuters. On the evening of last Wednesday in March, the directors of Lykia Bank, which is the Popular Bank of Cyprus, the second largest in Cyprus, gathered on their sixth-floor boardroom for the last time. Each director had received a letter from the Central Bank of Cyprus telling them in a statement that there had been someone appointed now, unnamed, to run the bank, and the board was suspended. After less than an hour, the board broke up for the last time, its members accepting that their 112-year-old institution was no more. It was like a funeral. It was a 112-year-old bank that was destroyed, as we will soon learn, by actions of the European Union and the International Monetary Fund. The death of Lykia, also known as Cyprus Popular Bank, was brutal. Board members said that they had fought to the bitter end, imploring political leaders not to accept the bank's closure as part of a 10 billion euro bailout deal last week to save the country from bankruptcy. The board of directors said they were fighting to save the money that was deposited in the bank, but ran out of time because they were given an ultimatum. And we'll consider that in a moment.
Good day.
Well, welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. I understand that some of this may sound a bit complex in terms of the amounts of dollars and percentages of what happened to and when, but in these details that we're covering now is our future. We are witnessing a glimpse of what is going to happen in America. This already happened in Europe. It happened twice now in Europe, and it will continue to happen across the globe. So bear with me a little bit as we go through some of the details. Lykia Bank, the Popular Bank of Cyprus, lost 1.8 billion euros before tax in the first 9 months of 2012, and it lost another 4.1 billion euros the year before. This article says, gamble on Greek bonds ended badly, and bad lending decisions took their toll. In actuality, bad lending decision wasn't the problem. And it wasn't a gamble on Greek bonds either. Lykia Bank was a very good bank for many years, said Afzentitou, the former governor of the Cyprus Central Bank. Unfortunately, they were a victim of too many things. First, the haircut on the Greek sovereign debt, which caused a loss of about 2.5 billion euros. Now think about that. This happened about a year ago, I spent a lot of time talking about it at the time. What the European Union, the European Central Bank, and the International Monetary Fund, which is now called the Troika, did with Greece in the last restructuring of its debt is it forced independent banks to write off Greek debt, to say, okay, yes, you pledged to pay us, we've loaned you the billions of dollars worth of money, you promised to pay that billions of dollars of money back in interest, and the central banks, this Troika, said, no, just write it off. forgive those notes. Well, in the case of the Leike Bank, they are only capitalized with $3.6 billion. And they took a loss just on the forced write-off of Greek debt of $2.5 billion. No institution could survive that. That was immediate death for the bank. So the Central Bank of Europe, the European Union, and the International Monetary Fund is the reason that the Popular Bank of Cyprus failed. And now they want to confiscate depositors' money, 60% of them, and take control of the bank that they themselves destroyed. The rest of the loss is because of something that's interesting that happens with monetary schemes. When Greece had to pay higher interest rates than other countries because their T-bills, if you will, treasury bills, were riskier in terms of getting paid back. So when a country looks like it's in peril financially, they have to pay much higher interest rates to borrow money. That's soon what's going to happen in the United States, which means that the United States problem cannot be resolved. Once we approach about $20 trillion in debt, we will no longer be able to borrow money without paying excessive interest rates for it, and then the interest rates will require borrowing billions of dollars more each year than even the deficit requires. So what happens next is that when the European Union forgave huge chunks of Greek debt, not taking the loss themselves, but imposing the loss on private banks, and then provided lots more heroin for Greece in terms of more money at very low interest rates, what happens to the bonds that Popular Bank of Greece was holding is that the price of those bonds drops. And so they took a loss on the value of the bonds, and they took a loss of the debt that they had to write off for Greece. Collectively, almost all of Leike's losses were imposed by the European Union. Reuters spoke to five of Leike's 11 recently departed directors. All requested anonymity if they were expected to speak freely about sensitive issues. Leike's first major blow came in 2011 when the European Union agreed to an unprecedented restructuring of Greece's sovereign bonds. Leike was holding 3.1 billion euros of the bonds and ultimately suffered losses of 2.5 billion euros. 2.5 billion euros loss on 3.1 billion euros worth of bonds. That's the kind of haircut that the depositors in Leike Bank are facing right now. Very similar, in the 70% range. After merging with Greek bank Marfin, which was a forced merger in 2007, with a Greek bank for the purposes of supporting the Greek bank, Leike in 2009 built up a large position of Greek bonds as a result, and they became worthless. We'll return to the situation in Cyprus, which mirrors our future, after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. You can engage in this discussion, even take a contrarian view if you'd like, 877-300-7645. We're considering what happened in Cyprus because it is a foreshadowing of what is going to happen in the United States and elsewhere around the world. It is interesting to note from this article that the eventual losses were so devastating for the Cyprus bank, and the losses were from two banks, well, perhaps three. Number one was they were forced to write off $2.5 billion of their $3.1 billion loans to Greece. Number two is that the additional bonds that they bought from Greece were devalued by the European Union. And number three, they were forced to merge with a Greek bank to save the Greek bank. Those three things are what caused Leike, the Popular Bank of Cyprus, to fail. And so in June of 2012, the European Union agreed to provide the state with an 8 billion euro bailout. But the state and the conditions of this term were that the shareholders in the Cyprus bank would be wiped out, that 84% of the bank now would be owned by the Cypriot government. And it begs the question, why did the European Union force privately owned banks to write off enormous amounts of Greek debt? Because what that does is it puts them in a financial position like this bank where they will collapse. Why do they do that? Why does the central bankers compel quasi-healthy banks to buy banks who have enormous problems or are on the cusp of going bankrupt? What it does is it weakens those financial institutions to the point that the ability of government to print fiat money to bail them out and therefore take control of them is the only option. And so in this case, the European Union, the European Central Bank, and the International Monetary Fund deliberately and purposefully weakened this bank so that they gained control of it, 84%. Continuing the story, the Greek parliamentary equity had the inquiry into the Greek equity had called attention to what was called serious conflicts of interest in Lyke's Greek operation. In other words, they owned now this Greek bank, and of course they were now doing business in Greece, and yet Greece was effectively bankrupt. It had loaned money to a number of different investors, and you know this article makes a big deal about they've loaned money to some Greek monks that were involved in some land deals. They also loaned some money to support a share sale by an investment group that was once owned by a former chairman of the bank. It's trivial. We're talking about, in these cases, millions of dollars, not billions of dollars. It's a smokescreen. The priority was to appoint advisors to help create a plan for Lyke to cut costs, to sell assets, to recapitalize, and ring fence, is what they call it, its Greek operations, so any shocks against its 11.8 billion euros Greek loan book wouldn't hurt the Cypriot parent. When it merged with the Greek bank, it absorbed $12 billion, $11.8 billion worth of Greek loans, which cratered the bank. That was the final blow. Imposing losses on depositors, the strategy controversially included, in the Cyprus bailout that was foisted on the island country was not considered. No one would have had the view that we would resolve this problem by confiscating our depositors' money. Asset sales began, as did talks on selling Lyke's 50% share in a Russian bank. Then they started, they were all prepared to sell these assets at a 9% discount, targeting loans in Serbia and Ukraine, and part of a $2 billion euro shipping loan portfolio in Greece, but it was not enough, and they began selling their assets at a 15% discount early in 2013. This is what causes recessions to become depressions. You see, when bankers manipulate money to the point that people can no longer pay their loans, then the bank is required, and people are required individually, to liquidate their assets to pay back those loans. But when you have enormous numbers of people who've all been put into the same position trying to liquidate assets, the value of those assets declines rapidly. Supply overwhelms demand, and the value of those assets therefore become almost worthless. And so all the assets that this bank had for its for the benefit of offering loans, those assets were devalued by the very activities of the International Monetary Fund and the European banks. Aside from concerns about the efficiency of the bank, the Troika, which is the European Union, the International Monetary Fund, and the European Central Bank, were also worried whether Cyprus could foot the bill for the bad bank. Now, they had bankrupted this bank, and they now knew that the bank was 84% owned by the Cypriot government. And they knew that there was no hope for it. So Lyke moved to Plan B. Its idea was to put the healthy Cyprus bank into a new subsidy that could be sold once it was freed from the long shadows cast by Greece, which of course was imposed on it by the International Monetary Fund, which was to remain in the bank's main holding company. It was a good bank and a bad bank plan. We were going to focus on restructuring, the director said. As Plan B was pushed forward, Laiki, or the Popular Bank of Cyprus, was facing growing difficulties. News reports of possible haircuts for depositors began to prompt people to pull their cash out. That left Laiki even more dependent on the central bank's emergency liquidity assistance. ELA, as it's called, was a continuous struggle. Every fortnight, they were asking for more assets as collateral, one of the bank's board of directors said. The bank pledged every building it owned, along with the branches and all of its loans and all of its bonds, to get the ELA. The 1.8 billion euro bailout in June, however, that caused the shareholders to lose control of the bank, giving the bank 84% of it to the government, did no good at all. The bank never got it. You see, the ECB, the European Central Bank, refused to accept the bond. They created a mechanism to confiscate the bank, and then they didn't pay. Laiki ultimately pledged about 20 billion euros of collateral to draw down the 10 billion euros from the central bank cash. In other words, 2-to-1 protection. On Friday, March 15th, Finance Minister Michael Cyrus, who has now resigned, went to Brussels to negotiate a sensible plan. The agreement that had emerged in the hours of March 16th was a shock. Cyprus was to raise 6 billion euros of money that it needed, that it would have to levy through a tax on deposits, including a 6.75% tax on small savings accounts, which were explicitly guaranteed. So the European Union, the European Central Bank said, yeah, we know that we've got a guarantee on depositors below 100,000, but don't worry about it. Take their money anyway. We aren't to be trusted. Take 6.75% of their money. The next bombshell came quickly. On March 18th, four Laiki representatives were summoned to the central bank. They were joined by representatives from Cyprus's other two banks, the Bank of Cyprus and the Hellenic Bank, which is a Greek bank. The banks were also were given a 2.5-page document. So all of these executives of these banks showed up. They were given a 2.5-page document. The document has been read by Reuters, this report says, detailing the terms of the sale of their Greek operations to a yet unknown Greek bank, that they would be selling everything to an unknown and undisclosed bank. The terms were not disclosed. This is the mafia doesn't operate this crudely. They were asked to take it to their boards for approval, but immediately protested at the vagueness of the terms. Here you've got things that are in the billions of dollars, a 112-year-old company, and you're given a 2.5-page document that doesn't designate any of the terms, doesn't say who's going to own what, who's going to get what, where the money is going, and you protest and say, I can't sign this. And they were told, sign it or else. Blackmail. The document had asked the Laiki board to confirm that the agreement had been reached without coercion. Imagine that. You have a financial gun pointed right at your head. Sign it or you're bankrupt. Sign it or we will pull the last of your equity out of the bank. We have control of $20 billion worth of assets that are pledged. We're going to call the loans. Gun to their head, ultimatum, and then they were told to sign the agreement that confirmed that they had done so without coercion. When the bank's representatives voiced concerns, the central bank governor told Laiki that its shareholder, the government now, 84%, would expect the board to sign. In other words, the deal had already been worked out with the government. The private investors were meaningless. The government was in cahoots with the European Union signed, and by the way, don't pretend that you were coerced. The directors believe that the deal meant that Laiki Greece, which was a central bank commission review had predicted would lose 7.4 billion euros between June 2012 and June 2015. Now, guess how they were able to predict how much Laiki would lose between 2012 and 2015, June of 2012 and June of 2015. Because they knew, they know, I know, you should know, that Greece's equity deficit problem was not resolved by putting them more in debt. And therefore, the only solution for Greece will be what they did previously, writing off Greek loans. These boys were going to lose $7.4 billion, writing off more Greek loans. The board was surprised and disappointed. The deal was obviously very adverse to the bank and to the country, one director said. The board believed that they would have gotten a better deal had the branches been sold in the normal way with competitive bids. By the way, the same thing is true with the United States confiscation of both Chrysler and of General Motors. Had those companies gone through the normal liquidation process, they both would have been much stronger companies, and America would be playing by the rule of law as opposed to the rule of confiscation. We will conclude this story about the orchestrated demise of the Popular Bank of Cyprus when Shattering Myths continues in a moment. I'm your host, Yada. We're taking a tour through the collapse of Cyprus and how it was orchestrated by the European Union, and particularly by the International Monetary Fund and also by the European Central Bank. Well, the Laiki directors refused to sign the vague two-and-a-half-page document that would liquidate their bank. So the head of the Central Bank of Europe, who drafted the agreement, Dimitriades, signed for them. The confiscated Greek bonds was the first thing. Just kind of go through the order here. The first, they confiscated the Greek bonds, ripping $2.5 billion from the bank. Then they confiscated their investors' shares, claiming 84% of the bank. Then they devalued the bank's loans, confiscating another one-third of the bank's assets. Then they confiscated the bank's tangible assets that had been pledged to them as security. Then they confiscated the entire bank. And then they confiscated the depositor savings. Methodical, deliberate, purposeful, destructive, damning. No one ever explained, one director said, why we had to go into foreclosure and resolution, the Laiki director said. Now Cyprus had just 3 days to formulate a bank restructuring plan that would win the Troika approval. Troika is the International Monetary Fund, the European Central Bank, and the European Union, and prevent the ECB from making good on their threat of cutting off the banks from emergency funds, where they already had, the bank had pledged twice as many assets as they were borrowing in these emergency funds. Well, the Laiki board will be consigned to the scrap heap. The bank's 8,400 workers are all fired. As one director put it, everyone knew the bank had problems, all imposed by the manipulation of Greek's debt. But no one ever thought it would come to this. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people that thought of this. This plan didn't come out of the thin blue air. This follow-up story. Cyprus has agreed to a set of measures that will release the $10 billion euro, which is 12.8 billion U.S. dollars, international bailout. The IMF's managing director, Christine Lagarde, said the country would need to pull together. This is a challenging program that will require great efforts from the Cypriot population. In other words, we own you now. You are our slaves. You will be expected to work. You are now serving us. She added that its aim was to spread the pain, to seek to distribute the burden of the adjustment fairly among various segments of the population, and to protect the most vulnerable groups. Yes, it's true. The opposite of what she said is, however, true. 5% of the depositors are paying the entire amount. 95% of the depositors are paying nothing. They will mean doubling taxes. This is another thing the International Monetary Fund imposed on Cyprus, doubling taxes on interest to 30% and increasing the corporate tax rate by 25%. So now you can't trust your deposits in a or checking account as a business in Cyprus. The interest rates have been, taxes on income have been doubled, and taxes on corporations have been risen, have been increased by 25%. Who in their right mind is going to start a business there? Cyprus's new finance minister, speaking on his first day of the post, said, "Our promise is that we will make every effort to do what is best. Under your guidance, I'm sure we will succeed." He's speaking now of Christine Lagarde, who now owns Cyprus. The plans for the two largest banks, the Bank of Cyprus and Laiki, are especially controversial. The IMF, which is providing 10% of the bailout money and controlling everything, said that 95% of the account holders would be protected. Ah, yes, but they're going to steal 75% of the funds of the rest of them. And although the exact amount has not yet been decided, imagine that. They shut the bank down, they confiscated the bank, and they're not even telling the people who had checking accounts and deposits there how much of their money they're going to steal. Cyprus is in recession with unemployment around 15%. Well, that'll double. And gross domestic product is down 3.5% this year. That, too, will be doubled down. The country is already planning to introduce austerity measures equivalent to a 5% of GDP cut in government spending between 2013 and 2015. They're going to increase taxes even more. There'll be more spending cuts. And Ms. Lagarde said that even additional measures will be needed. In other words, Cyprus is slave labor for the International Monetary Fund and the European Union, and they're going to extract their toll. They will be a cruel taskmaster. But don't just say, it's those guys over there. Because soon the taskmaster will be cracking the whip on America's backs, just as they are now with a European Union country. This is our future. And in the case of Cyprus, no one seems to care.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers,